professor of political science at the University of Akron. He's in the political behavior. He's an expertise in international security measures, and he's been a contributor here to the Ray Horner Morning Show. My good friend, Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler, with us on WAKR. And Carl, background, when we talk about prisoner exchange, this just isn't President Biden picking up the phone and say, let's do this. Give some background on how this can be done.
So, Ray, this is done all the time, and it's done on different levels, and it's done with different levels of publicity. And when I say it's done on different levels, you know, sometimes you have, you know, very well-known people like Brittany Griner who are involved, but very frequently these are much less known people, some people that are not even known by their real name. One of the very common ways that prisoners are swapped is spy for spy. This happens all the time that, you know, the Russians or the Chinese grab one of our spies and they say, okay, we'll give this person up, but you have to return one of our spies to us. So this is happening all the time. It's done very discreetly. It's done frequently from by intelligence agency to intelligence agency or diplomat to diplomat. When you have a very high-profile person like Brittany Griner, you know, the Russians, they're publicizing this and they're making this trial that she just went through, and the kind of a show trial. It was a foregone conclusion she was going to be convicted because that's just how the Russian system is. But they're trying to get somebody big. They're trying to get someone they really want, so they're putting a lot of pressure on the Americans to do it. And even these high-profile things, they're not handled by the leaders of the countries. They're usually handled first and foremost by lower-level diplomats, and then the bigger diplomats get involved as negotiations progress over time. So now we've got the Secretary of State, Blinken, involved, Lavrov on the Russian side. So that means that when these guys are talking about it, that it's really gone pretty far, and we can't expect a swap.
With us is Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler with the University of Akron. Carl, as you mentioned, these type of things are done all the time. We heard a lot about these exchanges during the Cold War days back into the 80s. But as you look at history on prisoner exchanges, what comes to your mind as far as high profile of one that sticks out to you that was done that we might not know about, but you do?
So there have been some very high level spy exchanges where people who were, you know, extremely important to both sides in terms of getting information. These are not names that the public would know, but people who you know about the intelligence Cold War, if you want to call it that. You know, there was a movie made about it, The Bridge of Spies. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, you know, these kinds of exchanges where you have very important people, important in the sense that these were people who were getting really important information for their country and then were caught, and then there was an exchange made. Sometimes this got into the press, sometimes it didn't. But, you know, you can think about people who, for example, spied for the United States against the KGB during the Cold War and then later against the FSB, who were exchanged and are now living in the United States, sometimes under an assumed name. Sometimes they're actually living out in the open. You know, these aren't celebrities. They're meant not to be celebrities, but these are some of the most important exchanges that have happened. People tend to focus on the celebrities, and, you know, there's few of those typically. The Griner case is kind of unusual that way, but there are some of these people that in the intelligence world are known as assets, you know, people who are very important for getting information on the adversary's programs, you know, weapons programs or things like that. Those are the people that really, really matter to the national security of the United States, and we want to get those people back. One reason we want to get them back is we want them not to give more information if they're giving anything to the adversary. But the other thing is we want to show we don't leave our people behind, because how do we get other people to do this kind of work if they know they're going to be just kind of let to languish in prison or even executed?
Carl, let's go to the Brittany Griner situation. This was a woman heading into Russia with some cannabis oil. a country that's very difficult on drug laws. They really hold by it quickly and aggressively. So she gets 9.5 years in prison. And as you mentioned, they're holding out for something big. So if you could, what do you know specifically about this case? And who does Russia want back? And maybe some background, if you could.
Yeah, so the Russians are very clear that they want two people, one probably more than the other. The first person that they want is named Viktor Boot. And Viktor Boot was one of the most notorious weapons dealers in the world for quite a while. And this was a guy who was selling weapons to all kinds of different state actors and non-state actors. And probably the thing he was most notorious for was selling weapons to Al-Qaeda. So this guy didn't really care who he was selling to, except he didn't want to get on the bad side of the Russian government. So he didn't want to sell to enemies of Russia. And you may think, oh, Al-Qaeda is not friendly with Russia. But from the Russian perspective, Al-Qaeda wasn't attacking Russia. It was attacking the United States. Maybe this is actually something that's going to help Russian policy objectives. This is a really bad guy. Viktor Boot is a very, very dangerous person from the American perspective because he arms our enemies, like I said, both state and non-state, and the Russians really want him back. So he's one person that definitely will be part of this prisoner exchange if it happens, and I think it's a very high probability that it will happen. The other guy that the Russians want is known as Vadim Krasikov. And Krasikov is a guy who is in German prison. He's not held in the United States. He was in prison for murder. So the Russians figure that the United States can pressure the Germans into giving this guy up. He's another important kind of asset that the Russians have. And when I say asset, both Krasikov and Boot probably worked at least with the tacit cooperation of the Russian state. So they may not have been on the official payroll, but they were working with the Russian government, and the Russians want both of these people back. And as you heard in the clip before I came on, Bill Richardson, who's played a large role in this, is saying that it'll probably be a two-for-two swap. So he's seeming to say that Boot and Krasikov will be given to the Russian side.
Carl, you mentioned the two names that Russia wants back, and I hate to use the analogy of a sports general manager negotiating a trade, but, boy, it certainly seems like a one-sided trade that Russia wants back in exchange for Brittany Griner. I'm not trying to lessen Brittany Griner's importance by any means here at all. Every life is important, but this is a young lady with some cannabis oil going into Russia,
right,
compared to these notorious terrorists. This seems to be quite one-sided. So talk about how these things are negotiated and how they'll finally come upon an exchange.
Well, there's actually two Americans that are in play. Brittany Griner is one of them. The other one is Paul Whelan, who was an American security expert who was in Russia, was arrested, and then sentenced for espionage. He denies that he was involved in espionage. U.S. government has denied multiple times that he was involved in espionage. So the United States wants both of these people out. And so that's why Ambassador Richardson referred to it as a two-for-two swap. So those two Americans for the two Russians that I mentioned. And so when you talk about the analogy of a general manager being involved in a trade, yeah, absolutely. It's a good analogy. This is not something that people get on the phone. It's one conversation and say, hey, we'll trade these guys for these guys. There's a lot of back and forth, a lot of playing hard to get, so to speak. Like, oh, I don't know. You know, this isn't a fair trade. We'll think about it. They may even go to the press and say, this is just not something we're willing to do, to try to up the ante. So the Russians may be trying to get more people. We don't know all the details of what's being said behind the scenes, and that's the best thing possible. You don't want this all out to be in the public, because the more it is in the public, the more pressure that can put on your negotiators and make it more difficult to actually find leverage. There are more than two Americans who are held in Russia, on very dubious charges. And if we could get them all out, we would. Will we get them all out with this swap? No. The Russians are in the same situation. There's more than two of their people who are held in the West. They would like them all back. They're not going to get them all with this swap. So I think what was outlined by Ambassador Richardson about a two-for-two swap, I don't think this is some guy who's just spitballing it out there. This is, let's put it this way, a friend of the general manager and a guy who's talking to the other team who's saying, I think, what's probably going to happen. He's not going to stake his reputation and look foolish unless he knows kind of what's going on.
Carl, do the sides ever say, hey, this can't get done, we're going to table this and turn and walk away? Does that happen?
It does happen. Happens all the time. Like I said, This is kind of the tip of the iceberg. There's so much of this goes on all the time at the level that the public's not aware of. These swaps don't always work. And oftentimes deals are put on the table that are just not credible for the other side, and they walk away. So, yeah, this is a tough game. It's really hard on the families, obviously. If you're family member is being held by Russia or Iran or China or one of these other countries that tend to grab Americans and then want to basically use them as pawns to get their own people back. It's just tough business because there's an incentive on the part of governments to not make this public for the most part. Sometimes there are incentives to make it public, but most of the time this is supposed to be done quietly so that it doesn't put inordinate pressure on the people who are negotiating.